All right, I don't even know how to introduce you now. So I'm we've been recording, so all this is on record, but I'm going to actually start the show right now, and then I'm going to just introduce this much and then let you take over. How's that?
I'll follow your
rock and roll.
Dude, hey, it's Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Very excited. I have... Like I said, there are so many adjectives I could put before your name. But I'm going to say rock star. Obviously, you know, you're on The Voice, but you're amazing at so many different things, Manny Cabo. Thanks for hanging out, man.
Oh, dude, pleasure. Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, I'm even going to call you if I can, even like my dog, my co-host.
Yeah,
because
people don't even know that yet.
No, So that's actually where we met, doing a little InStyle country TV stuff. And
that was fun.
Gosh, it was funny. Kevin, if you don't notice, we look a lot alike.
Brothers?
And if you saw us together, you're like, God, y'all are brothers, grew up
identical.
In the same family, same side of the track, all that good stuff. But what was cool about it is like we instantly clicked. And I will say that I'd love to say that that is a great connection that you and I have, and I think we do. But I kind of feel like you're that person. To most people, I feel like you connect very easily.
I get along with everybody. I'm like a chameleon. I like to adapt to people, you know, and that's one of the great things about, which I would recommend everybody to work retail, because you learn to adapt to different personalities, especially in an industry where there's so much versatility, you know, and engaging in your fans. So you need to be receptive to different people. And I think the way we clicked was, first of all, we're in the same type of entertainment realm.
Right.
And that also helps. And doing what we do is host. I think we have to adapt to people. I think that's a
Absolutely.
Must. Yeah. So when you get two people behind the scenes that get along as well as we do, I think that makes for a better show or a better whatever. Performance, you know.
Yeah, so we had a great dynamic. It was, you know, he has his total improv way, and then we were playing off each other, and I'm like, God, we don't even know each other. I feel like I've known you for 5 years. So
that's the way it should be, I think, right?
Absolutely. But I do want, I mean, listen, this is one of those things where I just like to tell journeys and stories, and you actually help so many people off the stage,
right?
You do a lot on the stage. We'll talk about that, just your music and other stuff that you do. But you were just telling Kevin and I about, like, hey, you used to work with Apple
Computers,
right? And you do like life coaching and branding and imaging for other artists, right? And just kind of mindset and stuff. So there's so much that Kevin and I, that's down our alley, right?
Sure is, man. I'm obsessed.
Yeah. And the reason why we do this, Manny.
Wow. Obsessed. Okay.
Yeah. Because it's one of these things where Kevin and I are not music, but we love music. I've always felt that musicians in general, though, are like really pure entrepreneurs. In a sense that they're literally creating products every day and then have to figure out how to make a living off of them.
Absolutely.
So I love the our audience. I think a lot of them are pursuing music, but a lot of them are not. But even the principles that they're hearing through musicians, the success principles of how to make it happen, like overcome fear, rejection, perseverance, you can apply that to anything. Right. And that's what the audience is hearing. But I want it to be very entertaining, too. So that's kind of how we did this.
Well, it's interesting. As an aside to that, there's amazing artistry, especially here in Nashville. Now, here's the key, though. A lot of artists are creating, and that's primarily what they're taking up most of their time. But therein lies the secret of why so many artists fail. They don't know the back end stuff, the entrepreneurial stuff, like how do I market myself?
Right.
They're too busy entertaining the creating side. But you could have an amazing product. It's almost like if a tree falls in the woods and nobody hears it, does it really fall? Where you're creating music, but you don't really know how to market yourself. You're kind of dead in the water. And that's one of the things and advantageous things that I learned being on The Voice. Social media is imperative. Doing stuff like this is imperative. Being able to manage yourself, doing your own podcasts, doing your own behind the scenes promoting and having a robust understanding of that is definitely a must. And a lot of artists, unfortunately, don't know how to tackle that end, and they have to hire people.
Yeah.
When certain things are so easy to do, like we were talking behind the scenes, like doing a story, something like that, some artists don't know how to execute, which is it's kind of sad, but I think it's each individual and how motivated they are. You got to have this passion. You can't teach passion. You know?
Yeah. We hear it a lot, actually, kind of that side of it of, I know I need to get really deep into this. And it's obviously not something that is their number one, number two, number three passion and why they're here. They don't want to spend the time because they're like, I want to focus on this, that, and the other. Unfortunately, it's the time now that you have to do that. Like you have
Listen, I'm not the best singer by no stretch. I'm not the best photographer at all. I'm just another artist trying to build a brand. My advantage is I hustle. Mm-hmm. And I have a very profound understanding of the electronic side, the right. social media side, the campaign side. And I think you have to have that. If not, it's pointless to create unless you have billions of dollars to generate and dispense on, you know, a public relations team to do right. it for you, which in most cases, and I think you all can concede to this, most of us don't. So therein lies the secret of success.
Well, then we've gotten in the conversation next of when you have a team around you that does a lot of it, right. How do you keep the branding in who you are and what you want to be doing and promoting and right. what's out there? I think it's a degree of separation we hear often is
sure.
you know, more hands in the pot. It's more of, okay, is everybody speaking the same language about what my brand is and what we want to right. be?
Well, and here's the tough part coming from my side of the microphone in that it's not music. And so I had to learn at the end of the day that I am an artist. Mm-hmm. I just don't sing.
Yeah.
And Kevin has probably brought me a lot further than I would ever would have been as far as just the mindset of even social media. I had this mind block about promoting me.
Right.
You know, and I think
maybe, we all do.
Yeah.
I think we all do at some point.
Yeah. And maybe there is a gray area because maybe I think a lot of times we see like the worst of the worst. And then in mm-hmm. our mind, we go, we just don't want to be that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to label who that is.
Right.
But whatever you see on social media, you're like, oh my gosh, I would never do that. And then they put this kind of feeling about self-promoting in your like, well, anybody and everybody's going to see me like that.
Man.
And that was what held me back in a lot of ways. But really, somebody told me, is like, you know, Donald, you have to, it's kind of selfish. I mean, if there's things that you have to offer people that are just one or two steps behind, right? And you have that knowledge to share, like you holding that and not sharing is a little selfish.
Absolutely.
That's a different mindset.
Yes, it
now
is.
You go from, hey, I'm not being arrogant and saying, hey, look at me. Right. And doing social media. Now I'm saying, hey, how can I help?
Well, there's your degree of separation.
Yeah.
See, I pride myself because I share my knowledge in my industry of photography. And I get hammered from both sides. You know, there's a lot of ego in this industry, to say the least. But as a photographer, I think a lot of photographers do have a lot of ego.
Yeah.
And they don't like to share their secrets. Mm. Where I think I create a lot of animosity because of that. A lot of my trade secrets, which, by the way, I learned by studying.
Right.
Because what do you go to school for?
Or from
for?
Somebody else.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't I teach the next person how to execute a certain task
yeah.
to make them better? How do you know where their success is going to start? This is going to be the next super photographer. You think he's going to remember the person who was like, well, a jerk to him? Or, man, he was so cool. He was so down to earth, had no hesitations about sharing his secrets, yeah. made me a better photographer. Now I'm on tour. I want him to speak on my campaigns. Mm-hmm. So you have to think of the bigger picture.
Yeah.
This business is all about networking and yeah. it's all about relationships. That's where a lot of artists fall short. Because that ego, that greed, and that introvert type of mentality will not get you far.
Yeah.
And I think especially in this town, Music City, I've become familiar to people, not because of my talents, but because of my willingness to assist other people getting to that next tier of success, whatever it may be. And if I know, listen, I've been around the block, you know, I'm not a young buck. So there's a lot that I've acquired over the years.
It can't be a day over 28.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I love this guy. Now yes. I know why I decided to say yes to come on the show. But, you know, there's a lot that you can do in this industry, and you'd be surprised. People will remember you if you come from a humble side and you want to help other people, other yeah. artists.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about it. I mean, because you have so many different quote unquote career tracks, but at the end of right. the day, I see you just as a pure entrepreneur, you know. But music, obviously, when did that come into your world? I mean, we know you were on The Voice.
Right.
Right. But you're sitting here, you're talking about photography. You're talking about really coaching and helping right. others. You're talking about all this stuff. And really, I mean, you're a daggum rock star too. Like,
it's almost like, oh,
I do this on the side, you know. So
you know what? It's basically comes down to this. I've become who I am by investing time, investing a lot of education in myself. You know, it's stuff that when you go to a university, what do you do? You sign up for a class, you go to the bookstore, you buy a book, and you have a professor reiterate what's in the book. I just did that on my own. I was a self-taught photographer, self-taught vocalist. I didn't grow up, you know, on any shows, on Star Search. Yeah. I started singing in my late 30s, man.
Oh, really?
And that's something that was innate and hit home for me. I'm like, wow, I really enjoy performing. I started playing drums when I was young. That's where it all started. My dad kind of pushed me, listen, you know, play some drums. And my Latin background in percussions and growing up in a very musically oriented household kind of shed light on that. So gradually, I started developing more of an interest in music. And I was always a good student, thankfully, for that. So I never really minded doing research. But music definitely was a late incoming for me. And
what was the moment? What do you feel like there was like, this was the stake in the ground?
I think a good friend of mine approached him. He was like, listen, dude, I know you could sing. I know you play drums and you could do both. I want to introduce you to this band who's actually up and coming. And I think personally they need a new singer. So sure enough, I'm like, yeah, why not? I went, saw them perform at one of the main venues back in Jersey. And 6 months later, we kind of clicked. And in 1 year, we ended up opening for bands like Cold, Godhead, Three Doors Down, Lifehouse. Woo. So it took this surge. But I think what complemented all of us was my style of singing and their style of commercial rock.
Yeah.
And that's where I developed my identity as a rock singer. And I'm in Nashville, Music City, but primarily a lot of country. And that's one of the things I was going to create as a segue early before you alluded to a person's branding.
Yeah.
I'm sticking my guns, man. You have to stick your guns. Mm-hmm. I'm not a country singer by no stretch. Right. It's an insult to be like, well, I'm a country singer. Right. I'm a pop rock singer in a country world here, but a good song is a good song, mm-hmm. no matter Amen. Which way you slice it.
Yeah. And I guess Music City has the, oh, it's country, but it's Music City.
It's
like
music
there are
city.
All genres and it's becoming more and more. Yeah.
There's Live on the Green.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
it's not country at all.
And I never endorse a theory. I'm like, listen, there's amazing musicians here. Half the musicians here are on tour with other bands that are not country.
Yep. That's right.
So that in itself lend itself to me making the move down here. And I'm a big risk taker, obviously. Sure. And in order to be successful, sometimes you got to take big risks. And I left my family back home to pursue this dream. So a late singing bloomer, you know, a photographer that's self-taught, taking this risk, sometimes you would deem it to be pretty pretty boisterous in a sense, you know, because I used to talk about, well, I really want to do this. I've got to do this. This is a big risk. And everyone thought I was crazy. But it's the crazies that change the world. I always use that quote.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
Absolutely.
You think of
Jim
Henson's and you think of the Steve Jobs that we were talking about earlier before. And sometimes you have to be bold, man. But I think the adjective that describes me most, aside from being fearless, is passionate. You have to have that passion. Yeah. And that's what I said. You can't teach that. God. And you develop that through working at your craft and then realizing I can do this. People don't realize a lot of artists are scared, not because they're not talented, but because they don't take enough risks and they don't believe in their craft. And you got to fail, man. Unfortunately, that's one of the recipes for success. You have to fail to know what it is you want because the contrast gives you the clarity that you're seeking.
God, that's so good stuff. I got to regurgitate that real quick. First of all, I know what it is. It's that finger I just put on why you and I click. My first episode of literally why I did this is like, I'm passionate about passion.
Right.
Like literally, it doesn't really matter what you are, who you are, what you're doing. If you're passionate about it, that's what I'm passionate about. And that's the stories that I tell.
Yeah.
And obviously you can hear the passion in your voice, right? I want to ask, because I think you're saying things that I know we've heard before, and I want to maybe dig a little bit deeper, because you're saying, look, a lot of artists aren't because they're, you know, don't want to take risks. But let's face it, that comes down to fear.
Yeah.
All right. And I think people look at people like yourself and they go, oh, they were born with the ability to overcome fear.
Who?
Exactly. Because that is a lie, right?
It is blatantly, man. I mean,
and that's what I want. Like, is there something that you do, right? Or you could tell us as far as like, look, I feel the same fear that everybody else does as far as risk, this, that, and the other.
I have insecurities every day, but you have to own it. You have to say to yourself, I am insecure. Sometimes I'll get up on stage and I'm telling the whole world right now, is my voice going to last tonight? Is it going to crack?
Yeah.
And if it does, it does. Mm-hmm. But the key is you need to say to yourself, I'm going to go out there. A, live in the moment. That's another thing that I've trademarked. Like, I don't worry about tomorrow. I don't worry about what's going to happen. How is this podcast going to do?
Yeah.
I worry about like right now. Talking to you guys is important. When I'm performing, that's going to be important, but I'm going to execute it as best as I possibly can. That's the only job that we have in life, to be happy and do the best that you possibly can.
Yeah.
Now, if you're honest about those two traits, you're going to do all right. And gradually, as you start endorsing the whole idea, well, if I do better every day, I'm going to get more confident. But you can't just nonchalantly say, well, I'm a good writer, dude. I'm a good singer. I'm a good photographer, and expect the accolades. Not that that's the end result that I look for, but every day, you're only as good as your last performance.
Right.
So you have to perpetually say to yourself, I'm going to reach another bar, another bar. Because you got to remember, I also love to educate. So the only way to give the best advice is to have a list of all those failures.
Yeah.
Why? When they ask Thomas Edison, you just you failed 1,000 times to do a light bulb. We've heard this a million times. No, I didn't. I just figured out 1,000 ways of how to not make a light bulb.
Right.
So you need to figure out those 1,000 ways of how to not become a failure at whatever it is that you do. And music, let's be realistic. Everybody wants to be a rock star, but not everybody wants to do the work, man.
Yeah.
This is hard. This is very, very difficult. I tell my daughter, almost to the point where I try to dissuade her, but I encourage her to say, listen, sweetheart, whatever it is that you want to do, do it. But if you fail, that's okay. It's part of the whole formula
part of the
getting
process.
To success.
Yes.
Yes. And a lot of entrepreneurs, the best in the world, will tell you, oh, my God, are you kidding me? I've wasted so many millions, but they really didn't waste it.
Right.
They invested it. And they just realize we made mistakes. And I think you have to make the mistakes. A lot of people are too afraid to make those mistakes.
So good. I mean, I could just end the show right there.
No way, man. Let's keep 2 hours.
No,
this one's a long
This one's going, all right?
So now, you guys know because you've been there. You know, you can't make this stuff up.
No. Like you can't.
I talk with my hands and I get really excited, but at the same time, you know, it kind of chaps my ass, to be honest with you, because a lot of people make excuses and I don't like excuses.
Right.
I will never give somebody excuses. If I didn't want to do it, I'm just going to say, listen, I'm lazy. I didn't want to do it today, but don't tell me that there's not opportunities out there. You can go to YouTube and learn everything.
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 Yeah. So, well, and also what I want the audience to hear is that what you're saying is right on point, but it's also not just a one decision. Like you are doing this daily.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I think Kevin and I, we can totally relate, and yet we still need to hear this. We still need to tell ourselves this.
Sure.
In other words, it wasn't just this one decision we made 5 years ago that says, you know what, I'm going to be, and then we never had it again.
Right.
Like you're almost passionate about it because you're like, dadgummit, I had to do it this morning.
Yeah.
Like I had to own it, right?
Yeah.
I had to live in the moment. I had to remind myself that, look, yes, this fear, this insecurity lives. It's real, but that's all right.
Well, I think we need the fear. The fear is what helps me. It's that push.
Yeah.
The fear of failure, for me especially, is what keeps me going. That's actually my impetus.
Yeah.
That's my source of energy. So I'm kind of very grateful that I constantly have that because it avoids the whole element of complacency.
Yeah. And fear, I've said this, fear can be, it can be your biggest motivator or it can paralyze you. But that is a choice.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, this is what you're saying. Fear can do two things. It can motivate you.
Yeah.
Jerry Rice said the same thing. I mean, he's one of the greatest receivers in history. And he goes, I went out every day because I was scared to death I wasn't going to be good enough. And that was a motivator. And then you have some people that fear, same bodily, if you think about it, if you were to list the bodily symptoms that happen when you're scared, like if you were to name it, well, my heart starts racing. Dry mouth. I start sweating. And then you go, all right, well, tell me what happens to your body when you're like really excited. Well, my heart starts racing and as well, like they're very similar if you think about it.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it is a choice. And I think you just hit the nail on the head. It's like, well, the first step is just own it. It is what it is. It's fine. It's not better. It's not worse. It just is. And then, you know, you know,
I always use this quote. Now, for some reason it stuck with me. The definition of fear, right? It's false evidence appearing real.
Ooh, I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Dadgummit. So, y'all and I knew that. Like it was, I didn't know it.
Oh, yeah.
I should get up and high five you, but you know, they move the whole setup here. It's going to inconvenience.
I think a lot of people forget, too, the whole, you know, fight or flight thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They forget the freeze.
Yeah, man.
They forget the freeze. They're like, it's either I got to run away or I got to fight it. And most people don't recognize, like, well, when it's scary and uncomfortable, most people do nothing.
Yeah.
Actually, like,
dude, I grow my wings on the way down. I leap and then I just grow my wings.
Yeah.
You have to take those leaps of faith because you know what? One of my spiritual guides, she always says that the reason why a lot of people succeed and do not succeed is because they hesitate. You know?
Right.
The universe loves a stubborn artist, and I am as obstinate as they come. Like, the more you tell me no, the more you tell me it's impossible, the more I want to do it.
Yeah.
But the difference between me, I'm not afraid to fail because I know, again, that's just going to add to the stack of what not to do. So I'll try to avoid this and keep working on solutions to succeed at whatever it is that I'm doing, whether it's photography, whether it's life coaching, whether it's my singing.
Yeah.
Do you ever do, when you're talking and when you're training and helping people with all this, do you ever do the five whys?
Indulge.
Why are you afraid?
Right.
And then ask the five whys on top of it to really get to the core of it a little bit, because it's one of, I mean, Tony Robbins does this great of why somebody doesn't
do
something.
I do things similar, but not in those words, you know?
Sure. And there's so many similar things that the process of it, right?
It's just
to get
back,
to the core of it,
exactly.
Peel the onion, all those type of things.
I don't care what it is that you do, whatever regimen that you can create.
Sure.
Just make the effort in doing that.
Yeah.
First, you need to decide what it is that you want to do.
Right.
Just decide at some point. And you know what? And don't look back.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next step could be that next step. And if it's not that step of success, the following one will be. But don't anticipate the end results. And don't do things in life, especially in this industry, for the accolades, for the end result, for the fame. Because you guys, if you're listening, you are in the wrong industry. This is not the industry for that type of mentality. And to be honest with you, nowadays, I think everyone should be somewhat educated to the best of your ability at whatever it is you're trying to tackle in life. Because that's the problem with this world. Like, it's the ignorance and the lack of education that's killing this planet. And amongst that, greed.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of elements that that we need to avoid. And since we're on the topic of just being an artist today, I think it's applicable. It's a universal application. You know,
right.
You need to educate yourselves.
Yeah.
Just don't reinvent the wheel. Study the greats.
Yeah. So what would be your thoughts on this? Because this is always a fun question to have with people that understand what they're talking about, like yourself. So there's some people that say, be the best you can at one or two things and then own that and find ways to delegate, right?
Yeah.
And the things you know you're not good at, don't spend any time on that. So is that the camp that you're in? Some people are like, learn as much as you can about everything all the time. Some people are like, be the best you can at these two things that you're so passionate about and let other people do the
rest.
Well,
we were just talking about it. You were asking platforms and technology and what do you do? And I go, gosh, at the end of the day, I'm trying to learn just so I know the bare minimum, but it's not my thing. I'm not good at it.
You've addressed that. At least you have that. You know, it's not your thing.
Yeah.
So don't spend time at it.
Right. So I found somebody to do it for me.
Yes. People, you have to, and therein lies the ego, our ego. No, I can do that. Listen, I had tons of ego growing up. I had so much ego that I couldn't even fit my own self in the room. Like, I would get in my own way. And again, that's the issue that most people have. You get in your own way.
Yeah.
Once you learn to accept that, listen, no, that's not my forte, and I'd rather have Donald or Chewy, because by the way, I love that. I love that whole, you know, that whole play. Then we could identify the weaknesses that we have, which essentially isn't a weakness. You know, we have to watch our vernacular. People use, well, I need, and people use, well, I want. If you keep using those words, you're coming from a place of lack. Say, I desire, I choose to be successful.
Yeah.
We have
language.
To learn. Yeah, language is a big deal. Everyone in this world has problems. Oh, dude, the problem with that, the problem with this, the war on this. The more focus you have on that, the more energy you breed towards that. So people need to start making that transition. I desire to be the best vocalist, the best photographer, the best entrepreneur, the best podcaster, whatever it is, and just incorporate those elements. And like I said before, don't reinvent the wheel.
Right.
Who's the best podcaster out there? Study what he's doing. Well, I notice he's got all his social medias all in order. He's constantly and perpetually, putting up updates every day. Oh, I see what he's talking about. Current trends, something that's interesting.
Good content.
You follow what I'm saying? It's all about just doing what the greats do and creating your own spin.
Mm.
But people are even lazy enough to do that. Something that's already in existence. They're like, well, no. Sorry to say it, but it's your own fault if you're not succeeding. Everyone needs to take responsibility for where they are right now. It's nobody's fault. It's not my dad's fault. It's not my mom's fault. It's not my family. It's not the nonsense. Not my friends. It's you.
Yeah.
And the blockages that we create are the limitations that hold us back. End of story. You know why? Because I've lived it. I've been on both sides of the spectrum. Been in the corporate world, the religious world, the entertainment world. I've seen it all. And the diverse clientele that I have with people and their personalities, dictates and endorses that entire theory. So now I've learned that. I'm like, okay, so that's not what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to be fearless. I'm going to educate myself and help other people when I can. That's how I live my life. It's an easy formula. Like I said, I'm not the best at anything. But what I do have is a drive to learn.
Yep.
And when you do that, you're more confident to help other people.
Yeah. I think this is the...
Manny Cabo 2020.
Right?
That's what I think.
Hey, I don't, Manny,
am I really, though, or do I really stand out, or is that the world is getting so lazy and complacent?
Well,
that's
no,
how
well,
I analyze
it. Here's why you stand out. I heard this the other day, and it just made so much sense. We don't live in a world where we're lacking information, right? We have access
absolutely
to any and all information. Yeah. You can Google anything. Now, regardless if it's right or not, so be it. But at the end of the day, if you really need to find a gym, a diet, or something like that, like there are things that you can find within 5 seconds. So it's not a lack of information. What it's a lack of is applying and or relating to that information, which, because it was one of my limiting beliefs, is like, who am I to talk about something that is already out there and been said and done, right?
Yeah.
But if it was only about information, people would be doing and succeeding at everything because it's there. But what they are looking for is somebody that they can relate to,
exactly,
to communicate the information that you're
they
saying.
They might like, they might not like. We might be talking about the same exact thing.
Yes.
But you know what? You know, Manny's a little rough for me. He's bald, he's tattoos, he's kind of the rocker wear. You know what? Donald's a little bit more of the casually, the pretty American boy. Believe it or not.
I'll take that, and that's on recording. Right?
Southern so, boy.
Yeah, yeah, right. I said it. There it is. Okay, it's fact. So it's all about your delivery. You could say the same exact thing, but in a different way that appeals, or it's a little bit more relative to somebody else. Somebody may relate to me. I might get a whole group of bikers and singers. You might get the entire entrepreneur, you know, Wall Street type of people. But at the end of the day, you have your brand, you have your fans. I've worked that. I don't care who listens to me. As long as I can affect that person's life for the better, I've done my job. You can't worry about the end results. Just do the best you can and let everything work itself out.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, whatever fans come.
Amen. And that's what you're hitting on, is the knowing doing gap.
Right.
Right. In other words, Kevin can say something, I just don't relate, so therefore I'm not going to do. It's not that what you said is not right, but I hear the same thing from Manny. I relate, therefore I do.
Exactly.
And that is the difference.
Yeah.
You're sitting there going, the difference is one does, one does not. The reason one does is because they've figured out that overcoming fear thing.
Right.
Right. And so, I mean, this is just like right on point in so many ways.
And you also let go of the ego. I don't care if they like you better. Listen, as long as you're helping the audience that I don't have, and we're doing the same thing at the end of the day. Again, ego, man, it's killing everyone. Just let go.
Yeah.
Just let go of it.
I told him, you know, when I first started doing this with Donald, and it was a lot of the social media stuff and showing his face and like the selfie stuff and all of that really good thing. And I think we had the conversation, and it's like, you know, if you're doing anything great, you're going to have people that are negative and naysayers and just are like, what are you doing? Like, why, like, and it's just like, cut them out and don't even engage with them on it. And it's like, you're doing your thing and it's fantastic to watch. But it's, I always joke and say Mother Teresa had,
haters,
naysayers and haters, right?
Well, here's a good plug. There's a great book, and I've read it probably 10 times, and I'm a big advocate of this book. It's called The Four Agreements by Miguel Ruiz. I don't know if you ever heard it.
I haven't.
And one of the rules in his book is you never take anything personal. Mm. It is impossible. All right. I'm going to repeat this. It is impossible to please everybody.
Yeah.
Because you could have 5 people in a room, whether it's your mom, your dad, your best friend, your best fans. They're not going to like everything that comes out of your mouth.
Right.
Get over it, man. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah.
You know, my dad always says there's a color for every different personality, meaning like you may like red, you may like purple, blue, but that's why they're in place. You know, everyone has a different preference, and that's what we need to accept. I'm going to use that word for the use of a better word,
right?
Because that's why we all have our separate fans, you know? And I think once you get over that hurdle and stop taking all the comments personally, I get comments all the time. Everyone's like, well, man, he's a fake. He's this and that. That's cool.
So it means you're doing something.
Yeah.
Like it means you're out there in front of them. Like,
and if you're confident and there are no egos and I don't take anything personal, then that shouldn't bother you.
Yeah.
And soon enough, if they have a problem with you, whoever that is, this is another thing I teach for life coaching. It's for it's life coaching 101.
Yep.
Whoever has a problem with you, it's because they have an insecurity or a void within themselves.
Yep. Exactly.
You guys are nodding your head because you know it's true,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I've done it. I'm like, what? And you need to address that first and say, well, why is it that I, something about Donald that's bothering me? The difference between me is I'll be like, well, what is it? I mean, he's neat. He's very well prepared. That's probably it. Maybe I know I'm not, and I feel guilty that I'm not, that I'm doing an injustice. Look to yourselves first before you blame somebody else. If the world took the time to do that, world leaders and all this nonsense going on, I haven't watched the news in 15 years, and my life is still the same. I still pay my bills. I still wake up every day just like everyone else. If we started
and
to
a lot
adopt
less
that,
anxiety, probably.
Yeah. Well, and it's true. And all these politicians might disagree with me. But again, I don't take it personal. That's yeah. okay. You can have your own opinion. That's the beauty of the world.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. In a nutshell, I think that the principles that I live by are really straightforward. And again, I've acquired them through my own life experiences. And like you, I've done my research. I've done the Tony Robbins and the Deepak Chopras, you know, and the Esther and Hicks. Yeah. I've read them a million times.
Yeah.
And they all say the same thing. It's right. all circumlocution. It's all a circle of the same information.
Yeah.
But you have to want to delve into that circle. Then yeah. you're like, damn, the light bulb just went off. I get what Manny's saying.
Yeah. But find that one person that you click with. It's funny. You could put it into much simpler terms. It's like, you know, you have your parents. Well, you're a parent, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's probably inevitable that you're going to say something that your daughter's just going to say, oh, dad, you don't understand.
Oh, all the time.
But their best friend or someone else could say the same thing. And yeah. they hear it yeah. then, right? And that's just the perspective, yeah. right? So, you know, regardless of who it is, I'm not here to plug or promote anybody. Because sure. like you said, at the end of the day, truth is truth.
Yeah.
And so however you get there, somebody's saying it in the way that relates to you. Just right. find who that is,
yeah.
right? And then
we need mentors, man. Everyone absolutely. Should oh, have yeah. a mentor. You got to have a mentor because they've been there and you learn from that. Again, the ego is telling you, I don't need a mentor. Yes, you do. We all need mentors. I don't care if it's your parents or if it's yeah. your school teacher or if it's your boss at work, somebody who has more experience than you do.
Experience and can see things through a different lens yeah. than you can.
Yeah.
You can only see and hear yourself. I said this, it took me, you know, most people have probably experienced this. The first time they hear themselves on tape or see themselves on TV, they're like, I don't sound like that.
No.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You just only hear it through your ears. You only see it through your eyes. Right. Everybody else is seeing and hearing what you're seeing right, right. now. Right. And that's an eye opener.
It's pretty cool, right?
Right.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, cause I'm like, there's no way I'm 10 pounds heavier.
Like, I am. Like, dang it. Shoot.
That's great.
Oh my gosh. Well, Manny, that is like such good stuff. I have these three questions, but at the end of the day,
oh my gosh, it's so good.
Like, how do we even ask it. Now and then go we, back?
So I think because there is so much good stuff that he was talking about, like maybe honing in on one or two of them to see what his response would be.
Yeah.
Pretty
well,
cool.
The last one for sure.
Okay.
Right. And then the first one, but the second one, I don't know. We'll see. The only reason I say that is because, I mean,
because mentors are important. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. The mentor part of it.
Well, I do want to ask this first. Sure. I want to go on a little bit lighter side just because just funny stuff. If you have funny stuff, we do this thing that, I want to do it much better than I am, but now I'm just bringing it up. We have this thing called Nashville. We have a problem.
Right.
And it's kind of like the movie Apollo, where it's like, Houston, we have a problem.
We have a problem.
In other words, you're God knows where.
How about
and Houston, Murphy's
have a
law.
How about we have a situation?
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah. The only reason is just because, you know, when you're out on the road and you're doing your thing and Murphy shows up all the time.
Of course.
Like I expect him. Like at the end of the day, you know, but those are, and you spend probably 90% of your time, you know, getting to the stage,
right.
getting to what you are ultimately there
production
doing.
Production meetings.
And all these sure. things happen.
Sure.
I'm just wondering if you have any of those, like, just kind of funny stories that, like, this one time, you know, and it's like, Nashville, we got
yeah, that's too funny. I'm just trying to think. I think it's not really a funny story, but it's kind of comical in my mind. You know, in hindsight, everything is 2020.
That's what I'm saying. It's not funny when it happens.
Yeah.
It's only in hindsight. Like, you yeah. know, Blackjack Billy told a story of like they were doing a gig, pulling every piece of equipment they had to play.
Right,
they pull into a hotel, went in, spent the night, got up. Somebody had taken the whole trailer off the bus and took it. Like everything was gone. It's
oh,
like
man.
Nashville. Ugh. And they were playing in like 6 hours.
Right.
We have a problem.
Like, we really have
it
an
wasn't
issue.
Funny at the time. Now they're dying laughing about it because they figured it out. right? It ultimately worked out, but at the time you're in this kind of panic mode,
right?
You know, and it's funny now. I don't know. So if you don't have any, I know you do, but if you can't think of it, just be thinking of it.
No, you know, I have a couple of good ones, but you know, really simple ones. Getting on the stage, and I remember we were at this place down in Jersey. You know, it was a big Bruce Springsteen, because Jersey is all about Bruce Springsteen and Bon Jovi. And we were down playing at this gig at the Stone Pony, which is one of the most reputable venues in Southern Jersey. And I'm on the stage. It's a packed house. And I start talking, right? And we do our first song. We do our second song. Everything is great. And then I'm like all wound up and excited. And then I step on the microphone. It was balance, and bang, it hit me right in the lip. Oh. And the rest of the show, I had this huge lip. And I'm like bleeding. I'm bleeding, right? And so stuff like that does happen. But going back, you know, going back to what I said before, I live in the moment. Like, yeah. I don't worry about what happens later. So Murphy's Law for me, in a sense, doesn't exist, because if it works out to my benefit, then it's supposed to. If it doesn't, there's a better opportunity or something else is on the horizon.
Did you start did you start slurring at all? Like when you're singing, you're louder.
You know, put it this way. It hurt hitting those high notes, because you know, you're like, ah, you're like, ah, and it stretched. It really cut my lip. It was a good one. It was swollen. So it was kind of embarrassing, but at the same time, you know, you do the Dave Grohl. You ever seen that video?
Oh, yeah.
He's like running and he just completely wipes out. His guitar goes everywhere. And he's like, what the was that? So you don't own it, man. We're human. Dude, stuff happens. Same thing on The Voice. People think that, you know, being in front of 14 million people, like there are blind auditions, is terrifying. For me, it wasn't. It's funny. I'm in the back. I was meditating and it had to wake me up. That wasn't at all. But you walk out, they hand you your microphone. You open up the doors, right? The camera crew is all silent. And then you walk in, this is all you hear, your feet walking onto the stage. And then you look to your left, there's three tiers of all the executives with their, you know, their in-ear pieces and microphones and laptops. The one thing that I could not stop thinking about, please don't trip. Please don't trip. Please don't trip. I didn't care if I messed up the song, right, whatever, but I just did not want to fall, because every single eye in the audience was on you at that particular moment, and they could see and hear everything. So it's pretty weird how different we are and what we think about. But
God, that was like a great picture you just painted. Like, I was literally putting myself in your position. And
could you imagine tripping and like as tall as I am?
But she didn't trip.
No, I didn't.
That's the key here.
I'll tell you what mine is, just especially since you and I host a lot.
Yeah.
Mine is forgetting names. You could be my best friend of 20 years.
Yeah.
And like in my mind, I'm like, don't forget his name. Don't forget his name. Don't forget. And I mean, how many times?
It's been like, there's been two episodes like halfway through, like two of them, like he'll say the guest name and I just am like, Donald, it's Cameron.
He's just checking to see if you're alert.
Yeah, just,
well, no, I'm notorious. And you know, that's business no-no 101. It really is. So usually, and you'll catch me like, dude, oh, bro, what's going on? And we all do that. Listen, I'm sorry. We all do that.
The tap the friend to introduce yourself to that person again.
And just sometimes I'll catch myself. I'll say, you know, what's your name? And you'll say Donald. 2 seconds later, I'm like, what the hell is his name? I just asked him. So that's another thing. You got to commit to memory. And they say, you know, repeat the person's name three times.
Right.
I've done that. And it does help.
It does work. Yeah.
Very rarely do I remember to do that, though.
Well, a lot of times it's because you're telling yourself not you're thinking, don't forget the name, instead of listening to then tell you the name.
You're programming your brain without even realizing. It's the worst.
Yeah, hey, it's not as easy as it looks,
no,
guys.
It's
that's
not.
All I'm saying.
It's not.
All right, dude, that's awesome.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate that comment.
All right. Now that we're here with Kevin and Jack. Jackson,
Dylan.
Tell us now. All right. Well, here's my first question, man. So, gosh, we've had so much.
No, God,
so whatever.
Okay.
Say whatever you need to say.
Yeah.
We say it like this. If you could have coffee with yourself when you first started pursuing music, it really could be any venture, but you know, we obviously kind of focus on the music side per se of the career, but it really could be anything. Knowing what you know now, what would you tell that younger self?
Oh, that's a good one. I tell you right off the bat, and I live it every day, that you do things and whatever it is, perform, be the best you can be, but do it because you love it. And don't worry about where the next big show, who you're going to open up for. Don't worry about getting the record deal. Because initially, I think in that climb, that's the one thing we focus on, and not realizing what we should focus on and being the best artist we can be. And I never did that for 10 years. I worried about, oh my God, I look in the audience. There's not that many people. Mm. What scout is going to come out to take a look at us? There's no AR reps. I went about it the wrong way instead of creating the best music I possibly could.
Wow. Hmm. That's good. Applying that in our lives, it's not music. You know, it's, I think it's always in our mind, that if and when we get there, we'll have this feeling.
Right.
And the reminder that I'm hearing is, if you're not feeling it doing what you're doing right mm-hmm. now, you're not going to feel it if and when yeah. you think, you mm-hmm. know, you've arrived.
You have to pretend you know? You already have it. That's the key to life.
Key.
You have to pretend like every day I wake up, I just say I'm grateful to wake up every day. Everything else is a bonus.
Yeah.
So I'm already ahead of the game. The expectation, I exceed it every day. So I set myself up for that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't worry about, well, you know, am I going to make an amazing contact today? Am I going to get a record deal today? Am I going to get a publishing deal today? Am I going to get another podcast or another radio interview? You don't worry about that. Mm. Just anticipate that, you know what? I'm going to have amazing manifestations all day long. Wonderful yeah. things are going to happen to me all day.
Yeah.
You know, and just be in that state yeah. of expectancy constantly, and don't worry about what it is. Don't worry about where it comes from.
Yeah.
If you're putting some good positive energy out there, that's what you're going to get.
That's awesome. Well, you're giving all this great advice anyway, so we're going to ask again. You mentioned yeah. that your dad said, you know, one quote, or had always said about different colors.
Yeah.
But is there a piece of advice that someone else has given you, not you, that you're, you know, learned yourself, that you kind of live by or have always lived by?
You know, I growing up, yeah, I was a poor kid. My parents did everything they possibly could to give me everything, you know, to survive, literally. And I didn't really have mentors growing up. You know, I had a lot of tension, a lot of hardships. You know, my teachers thought I was out of control, that I wasn't intelligent. And I had a lot of jealous friends. People would take my microphones and dump them in water. People would steal my photography equipment. So as I got older, I said to myself, you know, well, I refuse to be what I loathe the most, you know? And so I made a point to help a lot of people. And the one advice that, and I keep highlighting my dad, because my dad is my mentor. And you know, sometimes we click, sometimes we don't. And that's the beauty of our relationship. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as a perfect relationship. And he would always say, you know, the one thing that's going to help you in life is to be nice. Mm-hmm. It doesn't cost you anything. Be nice to people, and they don't have to be nice back, but just be nice. Mm-hmm. And as simple as that sounds, you'd be surprised how many people aren't nice. Mm-hmm. And that's my secret to the successes that I have attained, especially here in Nashville. You know, I just treat people kindly and with respect, and they reciprocate. And you'd be surprised when you least expect it, whether it's an endorsement, and I've got tons of them, and that's not boasting. That's just a fact of what it takes to succeed at whatever it is that you do.
Mm.
You treat people kindly, and they'll remember you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It goes a long way. People don't care about how much money you're worth, and the ones that do, you really don't want them in your life anyway. And,
right.
And I know I'm diverting a little bit, but sometimes along the path, you're going to lose a lot of people, okay? And I've made a lot of sacrifice. This year, I got rid of two of the most important people in my life, best friends, best acquaintances, because they just didn't vibe in my life. And we all need to get rid of the negativity in our lives, unfortunately. Mm. And it's not your problem. Other people's problems are not your problems.
Yeah.
And we need to worry about ourselves. When you're on an airplane, okay, and God forbid the plane goes down, what's the first thing that they tell you? Put your mask on first, because you're useless to anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good call.
So
yeah.
In life, we need to address our own concerns, be the best we can be in order to help someone else. Because if we're not happy with ourselves,
right.
It's pointless. I don't care if it's a marriage. I don't care if it's a band. Whatever it is, your best friends. Mm. You know, you need to be happy with yourself. And that's the other piece of advice. And that's part two. You know, just be happy with who you are as an individual, mm-hmm. and don't worry about what people think about you. And notice how it's all relative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me, I got to recap what I just heard, because it's so good. And I can't figure out why it's so profound to say just be nice, but yeah. It is. And I've always wondered, like, why it's hard. Like, has something happened, or is it just human nature to think? I can't figure that out, but we always need to be reminded to just right. be nice. I think people is just like, oh, it's a dog eat dog world, right? Yeah. So therefore, if I'm going to be successful,
well, that's the perception. Nice, that's right, just the perception.
Total perception. That we create. Mm-hmm. And that's really, that's unbelievable. You know, that second point you made about friends, Because I used to think that you had to choose maybe to get good people out of your mm-hmm. life because they were holding you back, you know, on purpose. And I think the perspective that kind of helped me grow is that we're not saying that, like, get rid of friends that are purposely trying to hold you back. Maybe some are. But the reality is it's their own internal insecurities too, going, look, if you leave, I don't want you to leave me.
Right.
They're not doing it on purpose, though. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, but if you're not growing, like, you can literally wake up 5 years later and be doing the same thing and have not gone anywhere. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's because of your inner circle. Doesn't mean that they're bad people or they're doing it on purpose. It's just that if you're in this record or this rut and you're not getting out of your comfort zone,
right?
That probably means that the people around you are not pushing you to be better.
Right.
And if they're not pushing you, they're probably because they don't want to mess up status quo.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I push you, Manny, you're going to do great things, but then I'm going to lose you. So I'm not going to push you.
Well, let me prematurely interject here. There's two things. And based upon what you're telling me, there's two very important elements in addition to that. If you're constantly coming to the aid of somebody, then you're totally doing them a disservice. You're not helping them.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah.
Okay. If you keep entertaining their flaws, and guess what? They're going to think that there's nothing going on. Okay. And second of all, we as a world, we use the term friends very, very loosely. To me, a friend is earned. Acquaintances, that's more of an accurate word. You guys are my acquaintances. I have known you for 20, 30, 40 years. A real friend is somebody that you've been highs and lows. A real friend is somebody who loves you for who you are, not for your possessions, not for your accolades, not for your ventures, not for your journey, none of that. They just appreciate you as a person that are there in your lowest times and in your times of triumph. So we need to start analyzing who our friends really are, or should I say our acquaintances.
Yeah.
And if someone has issues that's bringing you down, okay, then you need to figure that out and you need to feel that and kind of, I'm not saying get rid of these people, but distance yourselves because it's only getting in your way. And by you helping that person, you are not.
Yeah.
You're not. Think about that. By you helping that person, you're not helping that person.
Ooh, right.
It's that simple, man.
Well, there's a power of being in a victim, and you're that crutch.
Yeah.
And they're subconsciously saying, hey, I act this way, I get this reaction.
Yeah. Because I live to help people, but people that are willing to say, yes, I have a deficiency or I need help with one thing, who have that chutzpah, who have that drive, that's a different help.
Right.
People who have that passion, I get it. But somebody who's complacent and very insecure and holding you back because of their voids, that's a different story. You see, and you guys are smart enough to know the difference that's and a good the discrepancy.
Distinguish the difference.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people know to distinguish. That's a great point.
I often wonder too, how many people have been asked, how often do you audit your friends and the people you spend time with? Like, how often do you do that? Like, because it's not like a calendar invite every six months to be like, audit your friends' time. I think it's one of those things every now and then, depending on where you're at and what you're trying to do. Look at your phone and who are the last 40 people you've talked to and who are the people you spend the most time around and are they doing those things that you want to be involved with and want to be doing and audit the people you spend time with. Not saying you have to cut people out, you know.
Sure.
And at the end of the day, I think what's the feeling you have about those people? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what feeling do they provide if you just hang out with no agenda, you know, you know, there's people in your life, I think, that are excellent. And what I mean by that, it has nothing to do with what they do, who they do, or how much they make. It's just like, man, when I hang out, I just feel better.
I just take quantity versus quality very seriously. You know, there's a big deal. You know, you could have a million followers and half of them don't even know who you are. Or you could have, you know, 500 followers that you could basically thrive and create a career off. Because, you know, the rule of thumb is 1,000 customers, you're set for life if you know how to cultivate.
Yeah.
Those customers.
Yeah.
Or you could have a million people that are worthless.
Yeah.
So I think you have to build that acumen of understanding who the real, the potential clients are, the potential fans who really, really care about you.
Yeah, good call.
As a person. And that comes with experience. You know, you have to put the work into that as well. Unfortunately, it doesn't come free. Mm-hmm. So, and you will, you're going to go through hardships and that's okay. I'm telling you, it's okay. Hardships are a beautiful thing. If you know how to decipher them, if you know how to implement the opposite, you know,
That's awesome. Well, I don't think you're holding back a lot, Manny. So this last one may may be redundant, right. But I am going to still ask
it. Yeah, sure.
Maybe
it'll be good.
Because it could be funny. It could be deep, interesting, whatever you want to call it. But just finish this statement.
Sure.
Okay, Donald, since you have basically just said that Kevin and I are just acquaintances, which we are.
Business acquaintances.
Hey, yeah, no, you're right. You're totally right.
But this is going to make more sense now. If you really knew me, though, you would know. And then just finish the statement.
If you really know me, then you would know that I'm just passionate about life.
Yeah.
That's what I am. I just love life. I do. And I just do the best I can to make other people's.
That's not a performance, life. In other words. That is not an act. When people really know you,
yeah,
they're
you can't make this up. You got to wake up wanting this. And you know what? I guess it's because I've been, again, herein lies the secret of my successes.
Yeah.
Because I've had so many failures. That's why I'm so passionate. And it's okay to fail. Like, I'm so grateful for the many times that things didn't work out, because what I realize is when something doesn't work out, it's not supposed to. And it's kind of making the decision for us that we're too afraid to make in the first place. Mm. And that applies to relationships, business relationships. You know, I think you could apply it to anything.
Yeah.
If you go to a restaurant and it's full house and you don't get a seat, you're meant to go somewhere else to try their food. You might meet an acquaintance there. See, that's the way I live through life. Yep. So think about that for 1 second. If you change that mentality, and just in closing, I'll tell everybody, there's two things that I do. If we learn to do this, it'll change your life forever. And one of those things is you allow. I'm not talking about accept, not tolerate, but you allow. Allow people to be who they are, whatever the case may be. That's one.
That's awesome.
You know, and just live your life in gratitude. Yeah. That's it. That'll change your life forever.
God, that's great. Well, Manny, thanks so much for hanging out, dude.
Before
I let you go, because we're going to play your new song, right? That was just released.
Yeah, we recorded this about.
Tell us about it. And I mean, you got a bunch of accolades that have been just one and currently about to do. So tell us that, and then we'll play it, and then we'll let you out.
Yeah, man. It's been a great year. And again, I'm so grateful for the opportunities. You know, we did 4 sold out arenas with American Young Voices promoting music in schools, Unity. And that's always something that I'm really, really honored to be a part of. I just won Best Photographer, Best Artist, Best Fans for the Chris Topp program, who's is very well known here in Nashville. I just got nominated again for Best Photographer for Rock Entertainer of the Year.
Wow.
And Best Rock Singer here for the Josie Awards, and I'll be performing at Nissan Stadium. Nice. So there's a lot going on, man. It really is. And this song, Crazy, I think best identifies any relationship that at some point you feel is that turning point. And you know when we feel like, yeah, this is the one, this is great. So Crazy is one of those songs that I wrote. It took me about literally 8 minutes to write.
Nice.
And the story behind it was a 4-hour drive. We were playing in Secrets, which is one of the biggest venues in Maryland. And it is such a tedious drive. But then again, at that time, this is years ago, I was like, well, you know what? It's really not that tedious. I'm grateful for the time I could really focus on it. And it so happens that the only radio station that came in was a country station. So song after song was better than the next. I'm like, wow, this is brilliant. Which weirdly enough, it lends itself to why I'm in Nashville, you know, amongst a multitude of other things. But to make a long story short, I wrote the song in about 10 minutes, pulled over, and I wrote it with that country inspiration, and it made perfect sense. And the song's called Crazy. And I called it Crazy because in actuality, it was crazy for me to pull over, listen to this on a 4-hour ride that I never really thought I would be in. And then, you know, years later here, I'm in Nashville. It kind of is crazy, but the crazy's changed the world, right?
I love it.
Right?
That is so awesome.
And
that was like the best deduction ever.
Oh yeah. That was fantastic.
And this is awesome. Crazy. This is so crazy. And I hope you guys enjoy it.
Just a little under an hour until I hit the stage for another show. Driving on this road feels like forever. Knowing I'm gonna see you soon.
Man, hey, I'm looking forward to working a lot with you, honestly.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of stuff, aren't
Let's
we?
Let's do it.
You're gonna be covering the Josie Awards. I reached out said, you know, Pretty Boy's got to come out.
Listen, I'm coming and I'm absolutely. I'm gonna watch. I'm a big fan and I really love engaging with you guys. So we're gonna have a blast.
It's
looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And then at some point, Kevin's my non-legal counsel, so he's never taken a law class in his life. But
no,
I thought it was Chewy.
I've taken
Kevin.
Well.
All right, look.
I got like four names.
All right, he's super sick Kevin McCarty, but he is my Chewy.
Nice. Yeah,
how's that work?
Nice.
So I have taken a law class.
So we were just asking. The only reason why we say that is will you promise me at some point you'll come back?
Oh, absolutely. It'd be an honor to come back.
Well, because of my law degree, that's a binding contract.
Yeah.
So,
So that means I get to plead the fifth before further incriminating myself.
You know, that's law 201. I'm only to 101, so sure.
Sure.
No. Okay.
Yeah. Now he's receding.
Right.
No.
We'll strike that.
We'll take this to trial.
Yes.
So honestly, though, we would love you right here. Right there again.
Yeah, even as a co-host and when we have other stuff.
I'd love to, man.
Awesome.
It'd be great.
Well, thanks for hanging out, dude. Looking forward to it. See ya.
This has been HIDS Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.